Bibles this evening, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We'll be looking at a couple of verses there. Luke chapter 17. John, after this morning, Carl said that next week, just want to forewarn everybody that Carl's prepping his testimony, five cars that I've known, if you weren't here this morning, and five cars that I have known, and I think he said that each one is going to be about 25 minutes, each car details, so just if you can bring a lunch, and we didn't know this morning we needed that lunch, but the little lad with his lunch there. But then we were talking about giving this morning, and my kids were telling me the Henry story this afternoon. Daniel, the Henry story. Oh, that was classic. I guess, Daniel, you gave your son some money to give to Jesus? That's the whole problem right there. Grandma's giving him money, but Grandma gave Henry money to give to Jesus. And so the offering came by, and I think it was Doug Varner's section, and he wouldn't give it up. It was like, phew. You know, so Doug's just standing there, and he wouldn't give it up. Grandma's going crazy, you know, as normal, but she's going crazy, but that's besides the point. That's another story. But finally, she gets him to drop it in, and the offering plate goes on, and Henry looks at Grandma and says, "He ain't Jesus." And I agreed with him. Doug, I don't, you know what I mean? I'm supposed to give it to Jesus. I thought it was pretty good. Oh, the McDonald name is still going. Oh, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. It says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." And in verse 6 it says, "And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do." Back in verse 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The context here is interesting when looking at this verse, because when you look before this verse in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, Jesus is talking to the disciples in verse 1, and he says offenses are going to come. In verse 2, it says it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, he cast into the sea, he should offend one of these little ones. In verse 3, Jesus then continues talking about offenses and trespasses, but this time, it is done against them. Take heed, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. Look at verse 4, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. All right, so the context here is interesting because Jesus is talking about offenses coming and that you are going to be offended. People are going to do things wrong to you. And at the end of that conversation, the disciples turn and say, increase our faith. Which seems to indicate that one of the hardest things to do in our lives is to forgive somebody. Now, you may not think so because maybe you have reached to another plateau, but according to the disciples who were hanging out with Jesus, they looked and after Jesus said, hey, if it happens over and over again, and some of you, you might have caught on to that seven time thing. You're like, well, you know what? That's it. You know, a brother or sister, you know, by noon, they have used up their seven times. And so the rest of the day, I'm just going to give them a beat down. Because I don't have to anymore. I have forgiven them seven times. Well, we all know the idea there is a number seven is a number of completion or perfection. And so we should have a perfect forgiveness. That's the idea. And the perfect forgiveness is that it never stops. But the disciples then look to Jesus and say, increase our faith. And I think we can take it from here and springboard and use this idea of how do we increase our faith? What are the disciples asking? You know, it's a loss when we do not ask the same thing of our Savior. Some people, maybe you're sitting here and you're satisfied with the status quo in your life. And by that, I'm saying you're satisfied with your faith and you think, hey, everything's going okay. Or, man, I think I've got it under control. And it's sad because I think the Savior wants us coming to Him saying, God, can you just give me more faith? Give me more faith. We shouldn't be satisfied with it. And maybe it just is when a crisis comes. We suddenly have an urgent need for more faith. God, please heal my sick child or save me from shame and embarrassment. God, please give me the right answer to this difficult problem. And we find ourselves repeating the remark of a father to Jesus in one of the passages in the gospel, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In other words, you're saying, Lord, I have faith, but I need greater faith to deal with my problems. And I think Jesus wants us coming to Him. God and Jesus Christ, our Savior, wants us coming and kneeling down saying, increase our faith. We could take a lot of time talking about faith or what faith means. I think we have a good idea of this. Many of us have been disappointed by the faithlessness of somebody else. You know, the last song we said is, Great is Thy Faithfulness. But there are many people that their song is, Great is Thy Faithlessness. We could sing it to them. And what do we mean by that? Because we have maybe given somebody a job. We have maybe trusted or entrusted something with a friend or maybe a loved one. And they've let us down, and what do we say sometimes? I don't have much faith in them. I don't have much faith in them. What do we mean by that? We mean that we can't count on them. Isn't that true? We can't count on them. So when we're coming to God and saying, increase our faith, in some ways we're saying, God, make us understand you enough that we will always count on you in our lives. We will always depend upon you. We won't rely upon our own things, but we will depend on you because the Bible says, and this is true, you can count on God. But it's a lack of our faith in trusting in Him. And trusting in Him. There's many songs that have been written about faith. One song was written by a lady named Louisa Stead. Louisa Stead wrote a song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. But it's interesting, the story behind it, as her family was enjoying an oceanside picnic one day, a drowning boy was out there crying for help. Mr. Stead, rushed to save him, but was pulled under by the terrified boy. Both the boy and Mr. Stead died. They both drowned as Louisa and her daughter were sitting there on the oceanfront, watching helplessly. During the sorrowful days that followed, the words of this hymn came to her stricken heart. She wrote the words to the song, and then God just kind of lifted her up and increased her faith, so much so that Mrs. Stead and her daughter left and went to South Africa and served as missionaries for 25 years. After the death. Some of the words to the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," just to take him at his words, just to rest upon his promise, rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Sometimes it's trials. Sometimes it's hard things. It could be financial difficulties. It could be a physical problem. It could be a family problem. But a lot of times those things are sent into our lives so that we will turn to God and say, God, increase my faith. God wants us to have a strong faith. Let's look at a couple ideas, but before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for our church and what it means to us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Christ. Lord, we don't understand salvation. We never will. But Lord, we thank you that you have saved us. We thank you that we can trust in you. Lord, as we look at this idea of faith and increasing it, I pray that you would deal with hearts this evening. But as always, do what I can and touch hearts. Holy Spirit, we claim your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in this passage, and then we're going to look at a couple of ideas. First of all, look at the object that needed increase. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Here it comes, and we look at the passage in verse 5. The apostles come unto the Lord, and they say, increase my paycheck. No, but some of you, that's what you've been crying out to the Lord for a long time. Some of you, you've been saying, you know what, increase my bus numbers. And maybe some of you today, I know a few weeks ago I was joking with Mr. Snyder because he had one of those I love Mr. Snyder days. That means nobody comes. All right, and I was laughing. I thought he was going to use a skateboard to take them all home. And there still would have been extra room on the skateboard. But sometimes we look at those type of things and we say, man, I just want more numbers or I need more money. But here the disciples say, increase my faith. Not my paycheck. Not even my love for one another. They needed an increase of faith. And is that not what we should be asking of our God and Savior? Some of you, you have been crying out to God and you say, God, increase my willpower. Increase this or increase that. No, we got to come to God and look just like the disciples did, up to Christ and say, you know what? This seems overwhelming. Increase my faith. There's so many areas in our lives that we need strengthened. You know, we could talk about it. Yes, I need my soul winning strengthened. I need my giving strengthened, my idea of stewardship. I need that strengthened. But you know what? Almost everything that we talk about in this area, what does it rest upon? My faith. And so, hey, I can increase my giving. And some of you, maybe you have. We're coming into our stewardship month. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to increase. And you're doing it on your own instead of saying, God, give me the faith to step out. When you increase the faith, your giving will be what it should be. When you increase your faith, your family will be what it should be. When you increase your faith, your marriage will be what it should be. Your ministry will be what it should be. Because God wants faith as a foundation. Don't we even sing that? My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. What is it resting on? Jesus Christ. I need to increase my faith. We talk of doing much for the Lord, but our faith is so weak. And then we can't follow through. You know, as you consider your life, has your faith increased? You know, God, that's what He desires for us. He desires that our faith will increase. We should be growing in our faith. In fact, when you read through the New Testament, you'll see, I believe it's in the book of Peter, either 1st or 2nd Peter, the Bible tells us to add to our faith. add to our faith. So faith is already should be there, and then we should build upon that foundation. But for some of us, our faith, we don't understand how weak it is. And the object that you need to increase is your faith. Because God wants to do more. God wants you to experience more in your Christian walk. He wants you to experience more in your marriage and in your home. And what he's saying is, increase your faith. He's not asking what abilities you have and what talents you have. And we can praise God for that. Because sometimes you're going to come into a situation and you're not going to have all the answers. You won't know what to do. You know, recently, I think it was a couple Sunday mornings ago, Kevin was given a testimony, and he was talking about guys at work, and they were sarcastically saying about kids that, hey, they don't come with an owner's manual. And it is true in some regards, except we have God's word, but all of us that have had children, oh, you got to come to the place that you say, God, increase my faith. God, all I can rest on is your promise. God, as far as I can see, it's not working. But faith says, I will rest on his word. I will keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I will give. And sometimes, we were talking about that this morning, sometimes it seems like it doesn't make sense to give to God. I've got all these bills lining up. I've got all these things that I've got to take care of. But are you going to trust God? Increase my faith. This means that I learn more and I rely more on God's promises. We sing, and his word shall not fail us. He promised. So we see that the object that they're asking to increase is their faith. But notice, secondly, notice what happened. And the apostles said unto the Lord. So the object that they need to increase is faith. The second thing is the person to whom they asked help. Who did they go to when they wanted to increase their faith? They went to their Savior. Winchester Cathedral was dedicated in 1093 A.D., it's in England, in the United Kingdom. It's pretty old then. Over 1,000 or, 900 and something years old. It's Europe's oldest Gothic church. It stands as a magnificent and massive architectural creation. It's in Winchester and Hampshire in the United Kingdom. In 1905, however, some serious signs of structural weakness came into the cathedral. There was big cracks that came down the side walls, and they started noticing some structural, structural things that were happening. Some architectural experts suggested putting up walls and all kinds of things, tie rods to hold them together. Finally, an expert maintained that the foundation needed to be probed. And they wanted to probe it so deep that they wanted to go all the way down to the foundations. When they did it, they discovered that the great cathedral had been constructed on a bog. Sounds like the Chesterton High School. I don't know if you know they did that there too. But it was constructed on a bog. The original builders laid tree trunks at the bottom, because there was soft, watery soil, and so they tore down a bunch of trees, and they laid them down, and they built this huge cathedral. Now, it had been standing at that time for 900 years, so they didn't do too bad. The miracle kind of was that it was still standing, though. In 1906, W.G. Walker, in a deep-sea diving suit, began working in thick brown water, digging down into this peat. And he'd pick out this peat, he would do sections, and he'd pick it out in this deep sea diving suit underneath. He would pick it out, and then they would shoot concrete underneath. It took him 5.5 years. And I think from now on, his family is multimillionaires because he probably charged them a mint. I would have, to be in 5.5 years in a deep just a diving suit. But it took him 5.5 years to get underneath and to build the right foundation. I tell this illustration because it is important what we build our faith on. It's important who we ask to help build our faith. In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says this, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." It continues on and it says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." So what is our point? We must go to our Savior and rest upon his instruction to increase our faith. Many times we're going to other things to give our faith a boost. I was thinking about this yesterday. You can't walk into a church and say, "Hey, I need a faith booster to put in my milkshake." You know how the, you know, little additives became popular? And you can go into a shake place. I know out in California, that's probably why they're so weird. I remember going into a place in California and I just wanted a smoothie. And you're looking up there and they're like, "Yeah, would you like, you know, for an extra whatever, you can get a ginkgo biloba or you can get this or that." I mean, they have this whole list of things. And I'm like, you know what? If that's in my shake, I don't think I'll taste anything. You know, I don't really want that. I just want the taste of strawberry. What about that? You think you can just put that in there? But sometimes we get this idea that we can walk into church and we can add a little faith booster, drink it down, and then all of a sudden, "Wow, yeah, I think I got it." No. Or maybe you can get some magic potion that's going to give you this great faith. And some of it is because we get this idea that faith is out there. It's this nebulous thing. And some of it might be that we really don't want to go to God. Because the disciples, you can knock them and you can say, "Man, you know, they're admitting that they don't have a lot of faith." Yes, that's true, but at least they turned to the person who could give it to them. And you and I have to turn to the person that can give it to us. And what builds our relationship with Christ? What will increase it? Obedience. Obeying his commands. Have you ever assembled something you bought from the store? I've done this a few times. I can remember recently I walked in and Jake and Clint were putting a table together. And I knew what was going to happen because it always happens to me. They're just chip off the old block. But you've probably done the same thing. Maybe you bought a grill or maybe you bought something. You're like, "Hey," and your wife says, "Hey, you know, hey, the instruction man." "Oh, real men don't need those." And then at the end, you're like, "Man, I don't understand why they sent all these extra parts." Oh, yeah, you've been there. I don't understand this. And then you're like, "Oh, you know what? I got some spare time. I think I'll just flip." Well, that was supposed to go there. I'm just warning you, don't do it with your grill, okay? Read the instructions, because the whole house will be aflame, all right? You have this giant, all right? You'll try to barbecue something, and, oh, man, it'll barbecue, all right? One huge flame shooting out the flamethrower barbecue grill. But why do they give us those instructions? Because Not just we post it up next to our, maybe it's a grill or maybe it's a shelf, and those instructions, we're supposed to put them and laminate it and set it next to it. You'd say, well, that's kind of dumb. Well, what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to read it and then follow it. Obey it. Our walk with Christ means practicing his words. If you want a godly walk with Christ, you need to put in practice what God tells you to do. And that's why I think many times we don't sit down or we don't fall down at Jesus' feet and say, increase our faith, because God will tell you how to increase it. But then you got to obey it. And we don't necessarily like all the things that he tells us to do sometimes. As I know, as I've been doing the same thing, you know, I know stewardship month is coming. And so I'm praying about it, and God's laying some ideas and laying some figures out there, and I'm saying, all right, God, is this what you want? And we have a tendency to say, well, wait a minute, I got to lay all this out. I've got to look at my budget. It's got to fit in. And God says, well, do you want to increase your faith or not? God wants to increase our faith. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and that's why it says in James chapter 1, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Because when you're only a hearer, when you're just sitting there and God says, hey, do this, and you listen to it, and maybe that's what some of you have done. You sit and you listen to a message and you listen to a message and you listen to a message, but you never do anything. The Bible says you are deceived. That's what the Bible says, deceiving your own selves. If we do not practice what God tells us to do, we're just liars to ourselves, deceiving ourselves. Another verse which shows this is Colossians chapter 3. We read in Colossians 1, but in Colossians 3, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. It was interesting reading and studying the Word. Matthew Henry had the Word study on dwell in you richly. And it was interesting to me how he described it, because he said the word dwell in you richly is not a servant that comes in. When you have somebody come into your house and they're a visitor or they're a servant, you say, hey, or they're or whatever. They're just coming in and they're service oriented. You don't really listen to them. But the idea of the word of Christ dwelling in you richly, that word dwell gives the idea of a master that's in charge. Now, I like that. Now, sometimes I don't like it personally, but what it's saying is the Word of God should come into my house and take over. It takes over, and the Word of God is master, and I am subservient to the Word of God. Is that how you treat the Word of God? Or is it just off in the corner of your house? And every once in a while you say, hey, go in the room and get that word of Christ. We're going to bring it out and we may listen to a nice story. No, that's not how we're supposed to treat the word of God. The word of God, it says, is supposed to be master in your house. And that's how you increase your faith. You increase your faith by coming to the word of Christ and saying, whatever you say, it's going to dwell poorly. Oh, there's a lot of people that the word of Christ dwells poorly in their house. It doesn't have a prominent position, and it's not very helpful. But the word of God is supposed to dwell richly. And what does that mean? I think that goes right along with what we're talking about as far as our stewardship. I think the word of Christ, when we follow it and our faith increases, our whole life is enriched. And some of you are living in a poorhouse spiritually. And the reason is because your faith is shallow. And shallow faith means that you are a hearer, but you don't do. Now notice the last thing here. It says here, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now we said, we know what needs increased, and we said that we know that they went to the right person. But what I like is that they had a recognition. I think they did have. What were they doing? The disciples were following Christ. They were following him. Some of them, remember back at the beginning, we know that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and he saw some of them and said, hey, forget your nets and I'll make you fishers of men. And they just gave it up and they started following Christ. They had some faith. But I think that some of us are in that same pattern. We have given up some things. And we almost start thinking of ourselves as maybe, you know, I'm all right. The disciples came to that point. Jesus at one point sent the disciples away and they were supposed to preach and they were supposed to do all kinds of things and they came back. And man, they were talking about demons being cast out. They were talking about all kinds of things and Jesus stopped them and said, hey, if you read the passage, I think it's in Luke chapter 6, Jesus calls them aside privately, and I call it taking them to school. And man, he starts nailing them on all kinds of things that they missed. Because they thought, man, I have a lot of faith. Look what I did. Man, the demons in this were subject to us. Remember that in Luke chapter 6? Man, they thought they were something. And I think that sometimes we get the same idea. I go to church, I give, I'm in ministries, I do this, and man, I've arrived. But the disciples here, they had done all that. But notice what they recognized. They recognized that they needed more faith. And you and I have to come to the place where we are pleading with our Savior, saying, God, you know what? I know I've done this, but it just doesn't seem like I'm there, God. There should be a longing in our heart for more faith. Do more, God. Give me more. Help me increase our faith. You getting the picture? Jesus wants us to increase our faith. Sometimes we have more faith in our car starting than we do in God answering prayer. Sometimes we have more faith in our best friend helping us out than we do in Jesus making the difference for us. Sometimes we have more faith in getting a weekly paycheck to pay our bills than we do in really paying our tithes and offerings. Sometimes we have more faith than maybe a doctor or this or that as far as coming to God. And we say, well, I'm going to trust this doctor. And I understand trusting a doctor. I understand hospitalization and medical things. I understand that God has given us those things. But sometimes we rely on everything else but faith. We should come to God and say, God, increase my faith. What happens when we have weak faith? In Matthew 13, it says that, and he, this is talking about Jesus, did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know what your weak faith is doing? Jesus wants to come up and maybe he's looking at your household. Maybe he's looking at our church. And here he wants to do something mighty. He wants to do something great. And he comes over to do it. And he sees our lack of faith and he says, they don't believe. Notice when it says, he did not many mighty works. Are you holding back some of God's mighty works because you don't believe? Increase our faith. In Hebrews 3, the Bible says, so we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Our weak faith hinders the Lord. Our weak faith deprives others of the Lord's blessings. Remember the story in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers 13, we see the 12 spies that are sent out, and 10 were bad and 2 were good? And what happened? Did they follow the 2 that had faith and said, we can conquer? No, they followed the 10. And you know what? Your lack of faith can hinder in your family. What about even as a young person? So I'm just a teenager, I'm just a little kid, or I'm just a young couple here. But do you have faith? Is it increasing? Are you holding back the church? Are you holding back your family? Does God look, because the Bible clearly teaches that a lack of faith holds back God's blessing. So how do we increase? Well, the Bible. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. I can increase my faith by the Bible. This was interesting to me when I was looking up some passages in Matthew 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? This is just before the feeding of the 4,000. And the disciples are there saying, what are we supposed to do? Jesus asked us to get bread. We don't have any. And Jesus says, you don't have a lot of faith. Don't you remember? You know what I think it's good for us to do? That's why I think it's important that in our lives we go back and we rehearse what Jesus did in our lives. The children of Israel were instructed over and over. All right, that's why if you look at and study in the Jewish society, that's why they were supposed to have feast times. Remember, even the Passover, it was strictly told to them in Exodus chapter 12. The reason that we are doing this is so that the next generation does not forget. You know what we need to do in our lives? We need to rehearse when God increased our faith. And by that, he met our needs. He did things for us. We increase our faith by obedience to the Lord. In Malachi 3 and verse 10, the Bible says to bring all the tithes to the storehouse. And then what does he say? And prove me now herewith. What is he saying? When you obey, he will increase your faith and he will be proven. By prayer, in Mark 9, we said this verse, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Luke 17, and here in this passage, Lord, increase our faith. And the Bible tells us also that increasing our faith can be done, most importantly, I think, is being filled with the Spirit of God. How do I know that? Because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And right in the middle of that is faith. Do you know what will happen? When the Holy Spirit, and when you realize that he's there to help you, when he's there to give you strength and guidance and to teach you. We know some of the doctrine, and we've talked about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But one thing that he can do is increase your trust in God. He's there inside you to build you up and to give you that strong faith. 1972, I thought this was interesting. NASA launched an exploratory space probe called the Pioneer 10. 1972. The satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph it, and its moons, and then it was going to beam data back down to the Earth about the planet's magnetic field. It was going to do some other things. It was going to give information about radiation belts and atmosphere and stuff. Scientists regarded this as a bold plan in 1972. Because up until then, no satellite had gone beyond Mars. They feared the asteroid belts would destroy the satellite before it could reach its target. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission, swinging past Jupiter in November of 1973. Remember, 1972. So in November of 1973, it went past Jupiter. The space probe was hurled at a higher rate of speed towards the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. At some 2 billion miles, it hurtled past Uranus. Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles. Pluto at 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer was 6 billion miles from the sun. And it's still going as far as they know. It's still going. 8 billion miles from the sun. It was still, they believe, keeping signals. And April, I don't know if I wasn't able to look it up and see if it was recently. But as of 2002, in April of 2002, it still was sending signals. Now, Pioneer 10 is remarkable because the transmitter in Pioneer 10 is an 8-watt transmitter. Now, what does that mean? That is as much wattage as a bedroom nightlight. That's what's in it transmitting. An 8-watt bedroom nightlight is out there sending information back. They call it now the little satellite that could. Because it was not qualified, they said it wasn't qualified to do what it did. Engineers designed Pioneer 10 for 3 years. That's what they designed. They said in 1972, and by 1975, if we can make it here, the little satellite that could did a lot more. Its tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone thought possible. Now, as I read about that, I think that's what the world should say about our church, about our families, about our Christianity. They say, how are they doing it? I don't know. How do we keep going? I don't know. Except that God increase our faith. How am I supposed to give more? I don't know. Because according to everything I see, it doesn't make sense, but God increase my faith. And most of us sitting here, oh, we've worked hard and we've tried to do some things for God, but are you at the point that you say, you know what, yeah, I've done pretty good, like the disciples. Have you come to the place that you're at the end of yourself? And fall on your knees and look up at the Savior and say, increase my faith. I don't want a potion. I don't want some booster shot. I need you to increase my faith. Because without it, I can't do it. And I think our Savior loves to step in and do it. But you have to go to the right source. Heads bowed and eyes closed.